What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 57. Home to NFC champion fans. What's up, bro?
What's up, NFC champion fan? What's going on?
Hey, we still on the vibes. We still repping. We repping the Eagles every show leading up to the big day, Super Bowl Sunday. So the energy don't change. We excited. We'll talk more about the game next week leading up to it, but we got a long 2 weeks to enjoy these vibes. We got to talk about some hoops now. The big news this week is kind of there were talks about De'Aaron Fox possibly leaving the Sacramento Kings, but they've been playing well. They fired Mike Brown. Doug Christie took over on the bench, and they've been winning some games lately. They've been playing really well. Reports have come out that he's requesting a trade. Is that what Shams is reporting? Let me pull up the report. Yeah. Says the sack is from Shams Charania of ESPN. The Kings are expected to open up talks to potentially deal all-star De'Aaron Fox ahead of February 6th trade deadline. There will be plenty of suitors, but it's believed that Fox has a target destination in mind ahead of 2026 free agency. I immediately thought of the Spurs, and now reports are saying that the Spurs are his target destination. I think it's a no-brainer for the Spurs. You have a generational talent in Wembanyama. You just need that elite point guard. CP3, I think, is a solid bridge point guard, but to have a guy like De'Aaron Fox who can take the load off at the point guard spot today, you need to be not just a floor general, but you got to be potent offensively. You got to be able to put pressure on that defense. De'Aaron Fox, if one thing that he is, he can attack, he can score it, he can put pressure on that defense. And in fourth quarter moments, he's proven to be one of those guys that can make plays. And so for me, you have a generational talent in Wemby. You got to let them know. We got to let them know that you're serious about building a winner around him. And for me, they got to do it. This is your moment, because for the Spurs, you're usually not a free agency destination. If you have a guy who is open and wants to be in San Antonio, you got to find a way. You have the assets. You have the young pieces. Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, I'm not sure what pieces they have to give up, but if you start with those two, you can figure out the rest. You can build out the rest. And so I'm excited to see if this deal can go down. Who knows where he might land, but the feeling is the Spurs and De'Aaron Fox have mutual interest probably. And so, yeah, I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, this is a match for both sides. I mean, you look at the Kings, right? They're in a position. They're just in a weird spot right now. Like, a few years back, you know, people were saying, okay, there'll be a problem in the West for years to come. It didn't project that way for them. You know, they end up firing Mike Brown, but, you know, they've been doing good this year, 2025. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox, you know, requesting a trade, it's kind of, you know, surprising to me, like you said. But, hey, he wants to go play with Wemby. The Spurs, a young up-and-coming, you know, rising team. And, you know, this would be a good spot for him and for the Spurs and for Wimby's development. Also, another thing I like that Fox adds, he's going to play, you know, defense too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of times, you know, guys, teams, you know, get these small guards that aren't really the best at defense. But he has the capability of playing defense. You know, he'll go for steals. He has the quickness to stay in front of almost anybody in the league. So, you know, it's going to be good, especially because Wemby, I feel like this year, you know, he's already emerged as like a top 10 player in the league. I have him as a top 10 player in the league. Like, just talk about his impact on the defensive side alone. And then you couple the fact that, you know, he's 7'4", he's agile, he can move up and down, he can shoot. You know, he's a nightmare to go against. And just having Fox with him, you know, arguably the fastest player in the league, who's also a star in his own right, I don't see how, you know, that just can't work. And Fox will elevate others around him too. You know, he has the capability of doing that. So I feel like it's a no-brainer for both sides. I do hope they can get it done. It'll be exciting to watch. And the Spurs, you know, they got some pieces they can give up. You know, it'd be interesting to see what they actually give up. You know what I mean? Just knowing that, you know, yeah, we want Fox, but we don't want to, you know, sell our whole team. We don't want to mortgage our whole future. But, you know, Fox has, you know, years of his prime left too. So it could work out either way. It's going to be interesting, but I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, very, very excited. The trade deadline, is it February 6th? Let me see when the deadline in the NBA is Thursday, February 6th, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So that's next Thursday. And so for the Kings, in my eyes, look, I always have this philosophy with teams. If you know, if a player and his agent have made it known that they don't want to be there, I would rather, like, you got to make it happen soon rather than losing him and getting nothing. You got to get something. And so for me, this is the moment for the Kings and how the perfect timing for the Spurs, right? I know they're not in the playoff picture right now, but who knows what energy this can provide. At least you have this second half of the year to build that chemistry. You start this next year with the chemistry already developed, a lot of momentum. Who knows what they can do in the offseason? And so I think this will be perfect for the Spurs. Speaking of trade deadline, the big name that has been taking over the headlines previously before this, the Aaron Fox news, is Jimmy Butler. I'm over this Jimmy Butler story. It's a soap opera. He wants his money. I can't fault a guy for wanting his money. The Heat, Pat Riley, they don't want to pay him. I wouldn't pay him either because he'll be 36 next year. You're just not the guy that you once were on the basketball court. And so business-wise, basketball-wise, it wouldn't be a wise decision. I would question the front office that gave Jimmy Butler his way at this point in his career, right? For the latest news, he's been suspended indefinitely. He walked out of the Heat shoot-around when he found out that Haywood Highsmith is starting, which is hilarious even to think about. Like, I'm just trying to picture that scene when they say, yo, Jimmy, we starting Haywood. Like, he just said, what, a word? All right, bet. He just walks off. Like, how does that scene look? You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, the Heat should have done this to begin with because it's clear that he didn't want to be there. And as a teammate, I just don't want to be around that vibe, that energy, to me. So if a guy has made it known that he doesn't want to be a part of the team, that's your business. I'm not going to say you're right or you're wrong. I'm just trying to play basketball and win these games. You being here is just in the way. So why play this game anyway? He's been suspended, what, three? This is his third time now?
Yeah, he's
been suspended multiple times. So why are we playing this game? Every other day, there's a Jimmy Butler story. I'm over it. Just trade him away and be done with it. And to be honest with you, we've talked about this before. The teams that are mentioned, Phoenix, Warriors, I don't think he makes that big of a difference when it comes to the landscape of the Western Conference. I don't. I had to laugh at another report that said that the Sixers could be interested in a Jimmy Butler for Paul George deal, which for me is hilarious in so many ways. But I just think that doesn't make sense for the Heat. Why would you take on a Paul? You're not trying to pay Jimmy Butler, so you say, okay, let's take on Paul George, who can't play because his pinky hurts, and his contract doesn't expire for another couple years. In what sense, basketball wise, in what sense, business wise, does this make sense? I don't think Pat Riley is a fool. That's all I got for Jimmy. Like, just get it done with. Like, I'm done. I'm done with it. I don't want to talk about Jimmy Butler until the trade happens and we can analyze the deal. But it's tired. Get it done.
Yeah, nah, the Hayward Highsmith John, that's crazy.
No, that's funny.
That's funny. That's funnier than the situation when he was going at them in practice in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, man. Jimmy always got these funny stories. Tobias Harris over me. All this story. Jimmy's a character. And you see what he's doing on social media? He keeps posting like all these memes. I actually blame Kevin Love. Kevin Love started it. He's not slick. He started it. But Jimmy Butler is hilarious, man. Listen, the truth is he can still contribute to a contending team.
Of course.
But he's just not that guy for the Heat no more. The team ran its course. We talked about this before. You know, it's not too much to say about it. Like, he ran his course. It's sad to see it go like this because, you know, he means a lot to the fan base and he meant a lot to the organization. So it's sad to see it go down like this. But that's business. This is what happens. Like, you know, they had some good teams. They had some good runs. They caught lightning in a bottle with some of those role players over the years. And this is where they're at now. Like, you know, and it's the right thing. Like, if you ask me, they're making the right move. Like, he's getting older. He's not going to continue to, like, get better as a player. He's only going to get worse or stay the same. But obviously, that's not good enough to win the chip as the number one guy. They got some young talent. Khalil Ware's been balling. You know, he's a huge bright spot for them. So it is what it is. It's time to move on. And as far as teams that can go after him, like we said, we feel like he's not going to move the needle for a lot of teams. But at this rate, his price is probably so low now that it's worth the risk. Like the Suns
You
is
got
worth the
to.
risk. Golden State is worth the risk. Anybody that thinks they have a shot, or they have anybody that has pieces that's like, okay, we have to try to win, it's worth the shot. You know what I mean?
Even if
So
it's a
I'm not mad at
one-year rent, even if
nobody.
it's like a one-year deal,
It's
one-year,
worth the shot. Like
half
I'm not
year.
mad at nobody for trying at this point because it's going to be cheap. You're not going to have to mortgage your future for them. So, go ahead and go for it.
I do think the Suns would stand, they would benefit more than the Warriors team because
Definitely.
the Warriors would have to give up some young players. So you got Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler, and then what else? What else is on that lineup? At least in Phoenix, you have guys that can still get it done offensively at a high level, right? You got a KD, you got a Devin Booker. Jimmy Butler can provide some toughness. I think Phoenix would stand to have a better chance. But at the end of the day, we've talked about this, bro, all year. The Thunder, the Rockets, like there's just a level of depth that these teams have and youthful energy, but they also are coming with it this year that I think they're ready to compete, especially the Thunder, right? Oh, you still got to deal with the Joker too. Like the way he's playing out of his mind. And so I'm still not counting them out. We'll see if Luka comes back ready to go. Derek Lively, they got to get some guys back in Dallas. So the West is still, you still got those teams that you still got to face and you still got to deal with. But I do think the Phoenix Suns would benefit more than the Warriors. So now that we talk about the possibilities of trades, let's talk about a couple guys, a couple of young players that are moving the needle a little bit in the NBA and on the college level. First, we got to talk about the Thompson twin, Amen Thompson, Houston Rockets. I'm going to pull up his stats the other night against Boston. He hit the game winner against Boston at the Garden. And he dropped. How much did he drop? Let me check out this box score. Amen Thompson. He had 33 points, bro. 10
Ooh.
rebounds. 10 rebounds. Four assists. His brother, Asar Thompson, is legit too. He's in Detroit, but Amen, 21 years old, came from the Overtime Elite club, fourth overall pick in 2023, 6'7". And I think we talked about him in a recent show, right? As far as just some positive players and teams that are standing out. But I think now he's starting to really show, like, okay. The scary thing is that he hasn't even refined his game yet. This is all athleticism, raw, just physical gifts. The way that he just moves with the rock, the speed, the quickness, the aggressiveness, and it's not out of control. A lot of times you see athletes and they're great athletes, but there's just a way that a basketball person knows. They can tell by the way a player moves. There's just a smoothness, the way he glides. You can tell there's something there. It's not erratic. It's not out of control. It's aggression, but it's contained. And that's the scary part, that he's finally starting to get that confidence is kicking in. It's kicking in pretty early too. His second year is kicking in early. And he just, like I said on the previous show, he just pops out. He's a force out there on the court. And the fact that at the Garden against that team, the defending champs, the Celtics, he hits the game winner. Like the move that he put on was sick. And so the beautiful thing about it is we're seeing a young player at the ground level figuring out all that he can do at this level. He's starting to find himself, and he's not even close to what he's going to be. And I don't want to put a ceiling on it because I don't know. I really don't know because I feel like at this rate, he could be the best player on the Rockets in a few years. I think he could be that player. He has, to me, what we've seen in a few years, we could be talking about Amen Thompson being an all-star, top 20 player in this league. I don't think that's a far stretch to say because he's a playmaker. He's a menace defensively. And offensively, you can't, when he's on go mode, you can't stop him. So just wait 2 summers of him just in the gym working on the handle, working on the jumper, getting confidence, finding a game, mid-range game. Like, it's going to be spooky for a lot of teams. So, Amen Thompson, like, I'm paying attention.
Yeah, man, listen. When him and his brother were coming to the league, you know, we talked about it. Their athleticism is out of this world. But, you know, the big question mark is their jump shot and their mechanics. You know, I want them, like, you know, I have my questions about both of them. But Amen, I'm in. Like, I'm in. I just want him, please avenge what Ben Simmons didn't do. Please. Please just work on your shot. Like, it doesn't even have to be. I'm not asking him to come down and 20-20 step back, James Harden, Paul George style. We're not asking for that. I just want a simple, if they leave you open, catch and shoot three. A simple 1-2 dribble mid-up pulley. And you don't even got to do it all game. That doesn't have to be your game. It doesn't be your go-to. I just want you to be able to capable of doing it. Because at that point, you have no flaw in your game. And at that point, what can anybody do to you?
Right.
Because right now, we know how this might play out. In the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, you know, teams might sag off of him and it might become a liability. Maybe. If he gets that, it's over. But the things he does right now, just as a raw athlete, right? And IQ, too. He has high IQ. People overlook that because of athleticism. He has high IQ. And the intensity he plays with, the aggression he plays with on defense, the hustle he has, like going after loose balls, putbacks. Like, that's a basketball player, bro. Like, you know, these highlights that we see of kids, you know, dribbling all day, Julian Newman type stuff. And that's not basketball. Like, it's cool. It looks good. Rucker Park, it looks good. But what he's doing on the NBA floor every night, the little things, the dirty work, that's basketball. That's a basketball player. And the fact that he can still go against, you know, defending champs in their home court, drop 33, give Jaylen Brown a bucket for the game, like, he's cold, bro. That's cold-blooded. Like, you see it. Stuff like that, you see it. And if the Rockets are able to keep this core together and they keep getting better, it's going to be hard for teams to beat them for years to come, man. So, I'm all in. Like, I want to see him succeed so bad. I want to see him do what Ben didn't do. Lock into that jumper, bro, and just lock in and take care of it. Because if you do that, sky's the limit. Like you said, we don't know what the ceiling could be. Because, quite frankly, we've never seen a player – like with that athleticism, but be that raw coming into the league and actually develop into a solid shooter. You know what I mean? We see guys all the time with crazy athleticism, but you know, if they're missing a mechanic in their game, a mechanic in their shooting, it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we gotta really like, I'm just excited.
I love his game because he just go, like you said, he's a basketball player. He just goes out there, whatever you need him to do, he's gonna contribute defensively. Rebounding, blocking shots, getting steals. Like, he can be a perennial all-defensive player, right? Like, if he doesn't improve at all, which is not going to happen, he's going to get better. But if he stays at this level, that's a really good player on a contending team. And that's the scary thing about it. He can focus on being a lockdown defender. I want to be Scottie Pippen. Like, that, like, to me, like, he's like of that ilk, but can continue to elevate his skills at this level right now that we're seeing. And we mentioned the athleticism, but when I watch him, the athleticism pops out, but the way that he moves, just a certain you can't teach the instincts that he has, right? Like the way that he just the Euros. The way that he attacks, the ability to finish, there's just certain natural instincts that he has as a basketball player that once he adds more refinement, that's why I say two more summers in the gym, like really locking in, he's only 21. I don't know how good he can be. That's why I don't want to an all-star, top 20 player. I think I see all those things. You mentioned Ben Simmons. He's more athletic and quicker than Ben Simmons. Like, he is. And I feel he has, honestly, Ben is a talented passer. I think Amen has better basketball instincts overall than
for
Ben.
Sure.
Even offensively. Sure. Like, Ben, he attacks the pass. He doesn't, there's just one thing that you know Ben is going to do. He attacks, when he gets the ball, he's looking to pass. With Amen, you don't know what because he can attack the score or dish it off. And that's where you have a special talent. That's what makes him so dangerous. Against the Cavaliers, they won that game, by the way, the Rockets did. He had 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 blocks. Like, come on. And he's not – I don't – look, he's a young player, so he'll make mistakes, but I don't see a guy who is just straight athleticism, but he's out of control. I don't see it. Like, I see that it's contained aggression. And so I'm excited to see what he is next year. But in 2 years, I want to see, like, to me, that's the target that I'm looking at. 2 summers of getting this experience of working out, locking into the gym, refining your skills, and putting it all together. Man, he's like that. He's like that.
Yeah, he's going to be a real talented special player for years to come.
So moving from the pros to the college game, as far as young players moving the needle in the hoops world, it's a strong draft class. A lot of guys, you know, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson at Texas. But there's one player who I know has been catching my eyes, and he's starting to really move the needle when it comes to college basketball fans and those who cover the game, is Duke freshman Cooper Flagg. I'm going to start this Cooper Flagg conversation from the beginning. I live in New England, and so he's from the New England region. He's from Maine. And I remember seeing highlights of this kid giving work. He had the Maine jersey on. I was like, wait, what's going on here? I've never seen a kid from Maine give it up like this. And he's talking that talk, too. Like, he's like, yo. A couple years later, he's grown into be the undisputed top pro prospect in the country right now, in the world. I don't think people understand how hard it is to be from Maine, take your Maine travel ball team to these national tournaments and compete. You got to be a dog to be from a state like Maine and to get recognition from the pros. So that was my first thought of Cooper. Like, yo, this dude, if anything, he's a dog. Because he was from Maine and he was able to make a name for himself. My only question was, I see the intangibles. I see the ability to be a great defender. Can dish it off. Like, he is a really solid, like, team guy, team type of player. And he loves the game. That was my favorite element of Cooper Flagg when I first saw him. Just the energy. He loves the game. That's what I look for in a young player, especially. Like, does he love the game? Like, is he really about this? Because a lot of guys just love the fame and fortune that come with it, but they don't really love the game. When watching Cooper Flagg, there's no question about it. Lately, though, offensively, this is what I wanted to see. He had 42 points against Notre Dame. The other night against NC State, 28. He had 24 against Wake Forest. He had 28 against Boston College. I don't think people realize, if you don't watch college basketball, it's very difficult for any player to drop these type of numbers, let alone a freshman. Like, we're talking Kevin Durant, Michael Beasley. These are, like, special guys who have dropped big numbers at the college. The college game is different. It's hard to get your game off like that. And remember, he reclassified. So he should be a senior in high school right now. He's averaging 19 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. You know what time I'm on with the Sixers, bro. I grew up rooting for North Carolina. I still root for North Carolina. I'm never too hype on Duke players. It's just, for good reason, but I'm in on Cooper Flagg. I think If anything else, if he doesn't turn out to be this elite offensive player, he will be an elite basketball player for a championship contending team. I see that in his future. I think he is a special talent, special intangibles, just a special mentality. And offensively, what he's showing, just I think now he's opening up his game more. I think he's expanding his game. The confidence is there, the aggression is there. He's figuring out what he can do, and he should be a senior in high school. I like Cooper Flagg, and he's the top pick. And it would take a miracle from the Rutgers, Dylan Harper, or Ace Bailey to make me change my mind. He's the top pick. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, this past month I was going like way back and forth like it'd probably be based off what the team's needs, 'cause I feel like Dylan Harper is that good too. But nah. Cooper, he put it to rest. He put it to rest just off of the fact, like you said, he unlocked his offensive game. And he unlocked the art of playing off of 2 feet. You know what I mean? He gets downhill, he can jump stop, pivot, turn and fade, hook shot, floater, dunk on you, kick out. Playing off too, like at that size and that frame he has is crazy. And we're not even going to talk about the defensive side. Like defensively, he's a menace, bro. Like he can guard, like multiple positions, wings, bigs. He can block shots, he can get steals. He's a good on-ball defender. He's a good rebounder. Like when we talk, like I said, we just talking about Amen Thompson being a ball player. He's a ball player. Like this is the new prototype of, the future best NBA players, like being able to do multiple things on the court, good size, athleticism. That's him. And his shooting, even his shooting, like we'll see sometimes, he'll have a bad shooting night, or sometimes he'll have a good shooting night from the three. But the fact that he's taking smart shots, he's not coming down taking bad shots. He's coming down taking smart shots. His form isn't terrible. I like it. And I knew Cooper was gonna be nice when he played with Team USA in the summer, and they showed some film from the scrimmage, and he was giving those guys work. Anytime, just like when AD was on Team USA, he was balling with them. Anytime you see a rookie or young guy, especially that age, like you say, supposed to be a senior in high school, hanging with the best players in the world, and giving them a run for their money, he's going to be special. So I'm just excited. Come tournament time, bro, Duke's a real threat. Like I know these past few seasons, Duke. They haven't been, really a threat, to make the Final Four and win it all. They're a serious threat, and it's largely because of him, bro. Like, as a freshman, being able to do that, like you say, he's in uncharted waters right now. Like with KD, Beasley, AD, those guys were their freshman seasons. In the month of January alone, he's averaging what 25, 7, and 5, I think. Bro, like he plays winning basketball. Like it's going to be hard to really stop them as a team, and I'm excited. Like, and he backs up the talk. He has the energy, and he backs up the talk. So I love
Yeah,
it.
it's hard. It's hard to hate Cooper Flagg, man. Like I know some, sometimes, a lot of Duke players can be easy to just dislike, but just his like from day one when I first saw his clips with the main, his main team, I'm like, yo, this dude is cold. Like he is really cold. And so, yes, he plays for Duke. I'm not too fond of Duke. But I can separate my biases when I recognize a legit basketball talent. And he can unlock so much for an NBA team. I might have mentioned this before. Outside of the Sixers, my dream scenario would be him being in Charlotte with LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller and Mark Williams. Oh my goodness. Just what he would unlock for that team, for LaMelo and for Brandon Miller. And him and Mark Williams patrolling it defensively. That would be a scary thing in Charlotte. That would be interesting. But once again, though, he is a talent in which it doesn't matter what your team need is. If you add a Cooper Flagg, your ceiling is automatically raised. I don't think it matters what your team need is because he's just a great basketball player. His ability to unlock so much for you offensively, his ability to be a passer, the confidence in his jumper is coming through now. The ability to score in the mid-range, to take advantage of mismatches. He can blow by you. He can post up a smaller defender. He can maneuver and make tough shots. He can cut to the hoop and finish strong. Like it's there. Defensively, we know what he's about. And so Coop can unlock so much for a team And once again, just like the Amen Thompson conversation, he's just scratching the surface. Like, he's just now unlocking so much offensively. These are things that we wanted to see, and we're seeing it now. Imagine once he gets to the league, you take those intangibles, the energy, the motor, in the NBA level landscape, when all you got to do is focus on being a ball player, and we know he's going to be professional, you know he's going to work hard and lock in. Yeah, where is he going to be at 22, 23, 24, 25, right? So, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure. I don't like putting too much pressure on young players, but sometimes you see it and you just know it. If they stay healthy, if they stay focused and locked in, they're going to be special. And I think Cooper Flagg is a special talent. He's special. And so this is why I'm raising the flag for the Sixers. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, you got a perfect chance to at least give you a shot to start over, right? At least get a Dylan Harper, Ace, Trey Johnson, somebody. It's right here on your lap. And I know you don't want to lose on purpose. I know you didn't, but what are we doing here? I feel like most fans now, they know what time it is and they're okay. This time we're okay with the process. We're okay. We're good. Because we see like what's there. You got McCain, you got Maxey. I think Justin Edwards is a baller, by the way. We got to talk about him soon. He's a gem. I like him. Adembona, he's a nice young player. Like, now's the time to pivot. Like, you got to get young, you got to get fresh, you got to get to the modern wave of the NBA, which is young, tall, athletic, multidimensional. It's here. Catch up with the times. So, yeah, Cooper Flagg he's like that. He's special. And whatever team gets him is going to get a championship level player. And I'm excited to see how much he grows from here, tournament time, pre-draft process, rookie year. Like, I'm just excited to see how it all unfolds. Like, that's the beautiful thing about Cooper Flagg and Amen Thompson. Like, we're seeing it at the ground level. We see what it is and what it can be. And so to see that gradual evolution, I'm excited. And my favorite thing about these two guys is they're elite in the things that don't get talked about enough. They care about defense. They care about sharing the rock. They care about playing with energy. These are two guys that can be perennial all-stars, and they're elite. Not just at having a bag. They may not have the flashiest bag, but they can fill up a box score. They can lead a team in scoring. They can lead a team defensively, and they contribute to winning. And so that's what I'm excited about. Two young guys who are growing in their game, but they're elite in all areas of the game. Elite basketball players. So that's what excites me about these two guys.
Yeah, all the way. I just can't wait. Especially for tournament time. I feel like he's really going to catch a lot of people, you know, his attention. And you know that he's that star that college needs, you know. I know a lot of these guys, you know, they're not big names. Marcus probably won't make the tournament, but Duke's going to make it at least. He's going to be a name for people, you know, the girls, they got the Caitlin Clarks and the, you know, they had Angel Reese. You know, they got the girl that, you know, make you want to watch. Now they got, you know, Juju, Paige, Cooper's like that for the men. They need that back. Like, we need that badly back for college basketball. So I'm happy, you know, he's doing it right now.
Yeah. I'm excited. We'll talk more. We'll get more into our college bag as well, because there's a couple players I want to talk about. If you want to start getting into college ball, a player that I'm sure you've seen that intrigues me, I want to have a conversation about him, is Derek Queen, the Maryland freshman big man. I like his game. I like his game, bro. And I know teams are going to overthink it. Don't make that mistake. But if you haven't seen him play, Derek Queen, he's a freshman from Baltimore, plays for Maryland, big man. He just gets the job done. He doesn't look like an elite basketball prospect, what you would expect or what you imagine in your mind, but take that out the way and just watch the game. And what do you see? Is he making plays? Is he a skilled, highly skilled offensive player? Is he making an impact? And is he putting up numbers? At the end of the day, the tape don't lie. I don't care what your combine numbers say. You can fake, you can train for the combine to look good, jump high, run fast. You can look good in certain workouts, right? But when the ball is tipped, when the lights come on, can you handle the pressure? Can you contribute? Can you carry the load of a team that maybe doesn't have as much talent compared to it? Like, these are the things that I look at. I don't – a lot of these GMs and owners, they get moved by the numbers, by the combine numbers, by the hype, by the athleticism. It's not about that. Can you play? Do you have the skill sets? And do you want to get better? Right? Like, that's the – like, many, many players have fallen victim to, I got natural talent, but it's just it takes more than that. Do you have the skill set? And do you want to work at it? Ben Simmons got all the physical gifts in the world. You mentioned him, but what does it matter? It doesn't matter. Like, you're an afterthought now, right? Like, that's just the reality of it. But Cooper Flagg and Amen Thompson, those are two players that I think we both agree on. We don't question their their love for the game, their ability to get better. So it's going to be a sight to see. We'll talk more about the college game, like I said, but Derrick Queen, definitely watch out for him. Watch his clips. Check out Maryland games if you can. But yeah, bro, that's it. Inching closer to Super Bowl Sunday. We'll talk more about that game next week leading up to February 9th. But thank you guys for watching another episode of Marshall Time. Once again, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We're getting more active on our Twitter page, Marshall Time on Twitter. Or I always call it Twitter, but it's officially X now, right?
It's X now.
But Marshall Time Pod on X. Give us a follow. Try and get our follow numbers up. We're definitely more active on that. We like to engage with the fans, with the listeners as well. Like, subscribe, share it with your friends and family. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
All right. Peace out.
You stopped there.
Okay. Yeah.